Exodus chapter 20. We're going to read through a section of scripture in chronological order, about four verses or four sections. So if you would join me on Exodus chapter 20, and we will read starting in verse 12. Let's stand, please. This, of course, is what we call the Ten Commandments. The 10 words, the something that God gave to us a long time ago. The scripture says this: honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Same book, chapter 31, please. Exodus 31. Exodus 31, please, and beginning in verse 18. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him, upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. I don't know what all that means, because God is a spirit and doesn't have fingers. But it at least means this: God said some things in the very beginning, and he wrote them in stone. This is not our opportunity to do as we please. These are written in stone by the finger of God. Deuteronomy chapter 5, please. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy is the Greek title of the book. It means deuteros is the Greek word for second. Protos is first, deuteros is second. And nomos is the Greek word for law. So Deuteronomy is the second giving of the law. So we have the second time the Ten Commandments are again spoken, the same but with some slight little variations. Verse 16 of chapter 5. Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. It's assuming you already know about Exodus 20, but it's repeating it. That thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, all the way to the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 6, please. Ephesians chapter 6. Surprisingly enough, the concept, the command to honor one's father and mother, is not found a great deal in Scripture. I'm assuming because God himself wrote them on stones, he assumed we didn't need a repetition. So it's really found three times as command, and two or three other times in passing, it's more or less assumed that if you're a believer, you honor your father and your mother. Ephesians 6 and verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And that means what it means. You wouldn't obey them if they weren't in the Lord and were taking you contrary to the word of God, obviously. For this is right: honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. This morning, we're going to look at this command. I have entitled this Making a Statement. Now, we're going to start, and I never do this in a service. I say never, once a year. But we're going to watch a short video clip that a guy is making a statement. Because this morning, what I want us to do as believers is make a statement about motherhood here this morning. So we're going to watch a video after I pray that has nothing to do with motherhood, but it is kind of entertaining and it is kind of nice. And very memorable. And it made me remember some things, so I think it might be interesting for you to see, though it's not directly related to motherhood. It's making a statement. Let's pray first. Father, I thank you for this beautiful day, this beautiful occasion. It is my privilege to honor the mothers here this morning, including my own. I think my children, John and Amy, now have honored their mother. with something I think she taught them their whole life, music. And certainly they got that gift and ability from her. And it is a thing of honor to have your children sing at a church service on Mother's Day. Thank you for mothers here. Thank you, Most Holy Trinity, for making it so. No accident, no evolutionary construct. No, this is your divine design from the beginning of time, written in stone. May we be able, to the end of this day, to make a statement about motherhood. This we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Pastor Kowak, or whoever's doing it. Does it have sound? We're going way too fast if we don't have sound.
Do you have sound, Frenchie?
Frenchie!
I've got it turned up all the way. Nothing's coming through.
Technical difficulties. Tim, stop the thing so it doesn't continue, please. So there's no sound. Stop it for a minute. Okay, now you know why I don't use technology. Here's the story. There is a young man and his fiance, or girlfriend, and they just got pulled over by the police in the same place he had been pulled over previously for not doing the same thing he had done previously. So the police stop him at this corner. Go ahead, Tim. And they pull him out of the vehicle. And they search him. And they bring the girlfriend back. I don't have a sense of humor or patience on Mother's Day. And now I hear buzzing. Sound but no video. Is this thing here on, or what's going on? We got one more minute and we're going to stop it. Who's showing the video, you or Frenchie? Goes. Turn it off. It was a good idea. Turn the screen off too, please. Boy, don't you ever have good ideas that are going to be so wonderful to make? I made a statement this morning, haven't I? Let me give you the story. By the way, turn the sound off back here too, Frenchie. Thank you. The video was very simple, friend. It was a poor guy that wanted to surprise his girlfriend with a proposal. He had gotten stopped at the same place, and the police had given him a ticket before. So he goes back to the same place, and the police pull him over, and they search him and scare his girlfriend to death. They bring her out of the car. And you know, these are pretty two big guys, and they're kind of looking mean. And they bring her back here, and they search him and pull the ring out of his pocket. And he falls down on his knees and proposes to her in front of the two cops. And it's all a setup. He made a statement. Thank you, Frenchie, for unmaking my statement. Our Pastor Koak, whoever it was. It's a conspiracy on Mother's Day, undoubtedly. This morning, what I want us to be able to do is to make a statement about the concept of mothers. If you will look back with me at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father, notice the language, and mother. In Exodus 20, verse 12, it says, honor thy father and thy mother. Deuteronomy 5:16 says, honor thy father and thy mother. This morning, the verses you read, some of you are already checked out. I get it. Number one, make a revolutionary statement. They make a revolutionary statement in the ancient world, and as much in the modern world. Honor thy father and thy mother. Somewhere over 3,450 years ago, God himself gave us two tablets. We don't know exactly what they look like. The old Ten Commandments I saw as a kid, the way they were always portrayed, there were two tablets. Four commandments written on one, six on the other. It's very possible that's what they were. Some people believe, we don't know, one verse seems to indicate that it was two different tablets, four on the front, six on the back, a copy, four on the front, six on the back, but God himself wrote these in stone so that we would understand for the last 3,450 plus years, how we were to live as believers. A revolutionary statement. Now, if you look at verse 2, because I don't want you to get away from this verse. This verse to me is very profound. It commands us to honor someone that's not ourself. Everybody honors themselves. We are to honor father and mother. We are to honor the mother as we would the father. And we are to honor, on this day, the mother, hear me, as a mother. That is fundamentally a revolutionary concept in the ancient world and, frankly, even today. The ancient world, to honor one's father made great sense. In most ancient cultures of the days of Moses, men owned, got to hear the language, owned the family. If you grew up in Paul's day in the Roman world, the pater familia, the family, it was the father's family. He owned you to this level. He could have you executed. He could do whatever he wanted with the wife and the children. And into this milieu speaks the word of God that I and you are to honor, yes, the father, but also the mother. And we're to honor the mother as we do the father, and we're to honor the mother as a mother, not as something else, a revolutionary concept. By the way, In many places in the world today, mothers are disposable. Drop yourself off in Nigeria, get captured by one of the Muslim groups, and see how they treat you as a woman when you are forced to marry a male and be repeatedly raped by this pervert. And that's okay because women are disposable. In the Word of God, women are to be, we're to honor fathers and mothers. We're to honor the mother as we do the father. And we're to honor this mother as a mother. There's something inherently honorable in the office and the function of motherhood. Father and mother. Father and mother, but also mother as the father and mother as a mother. Way outside the box, a revolutionary statement. By the way, I want to say this to everyone here. Some of you will understand this and some of this won't mean much. I'm a Bible-believing fundamental Baptist. But even in our circles, some women are mistreated in some segments of the church. That'll never happen in this church as long as I'm the pastor. Women will be honored, and mothers most importantly. They will not be seen as third-class citizens, as extras on the side for the dog and pony show of males. We honor mothers. 2, 3, 4 years ago, some lady, not a Christian, I don't think, wrote an article. I think it was in the New York Times. I read the article some other place, and the question that the article asked was, can a woman have it all? Oh my goodness. How I found out the article had been written was I was watching the news, and all of these angry feminists were, yes, women can have it all, and women can do anything. And then I started reading articles and hearing talking heads and all the gabbing people on television. And then even books came out saying, yes, women can have it all. When the obvious answer is no one can have it all, male or female. And all of this misses the point because there is something inherently honorable in what God did when he created mothers. And I believe if we're going to make a revolutionary statement today, we must come to the place where we can honor mothers as mothers, for her labor, for her love, for her sacrifice. And we can do so as her being a mother, not requiring her to be superwoman in order to honor her, but we can honor her for the things that mothers do. I honor this morning the women of Lake County Baptist Church. We have a great group of good, godly, educated, intelligent, hardworking ladies. But we also have a host of honorable, godly mothers, and we honor them as mothers. By the way, you don't even know what I'm saying yet. I'm a little weird. My mother, by the way, just so you know, my mother says, even from a child, she would say, Ralph, you were always weird. That hurts my feelings. What she meant by that was, I'm the only person she ever met that read all the time. I've been doing this since childhood. I read a lot. This morning, 6:30 this morning, I'm reading a book on Maya history. Isn't that what you do on Sunday morning early? I'm reading a book because we're going to go back to the Maya area this summer for vacation, and I wanted to reread this history book. And the author wanted to tell us, I just want you to know, and by the way, this book is probably 400 pages. It's a history book. 10 different times it says, I want you to know. We know the name. The names for 4 Maya women. Joseph is watching a history series I have on the history of Egypt. The professor wants everybody to know in the Egypt's history, which goes way back, for about 3,000 years, Egypt had a very similar continuity of history. And he just kept repeating, because it's so important to a historian, that there was a woman that might have been a pharaoh for 15 minutes named, and I can't say her name, Hatshepsut, I don't know. And there might have been another woman that might have been Pharaoh for 5 minutes. Are you looking at me? Have you read the Bible recently? How many times are women mentioned in the Bible? 4 times? 2 times? My friend, I find it ironic that we're so excited about 2 women mentioned in Egyptian history. The Bible is filled with, please hear me, common women. Because in the Bible wasn't trying to elevate men and saying men are all of that and women are nothing. It wasn't trying to elevate the opposite. Women are all that and men are nothing. Modern America. No, it was saying very simply, we're to honor husbands and the wives, fathers and mothers. And there's mothers mentioned throughout the Bible. How about Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, Moses' mother, Ruth, Esther, Mary, Elizabeth. And there's some mothers that had been misused in the Bible. Hagar, Tamar, number one, Tamar, number two. Yes, there's even a few bad women in the Bible. Jezebel, Delilah, Athaliah. Turn your Bibles, if you would. I want to look at a text. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. My friend, if we spent this morning just reading the names in the Bible of women, and people are saying, oh, the Egyptians had 4 women that we know their names, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. The Bible's filled with women's names and what women do, because the Bible, inspired by God himself, shows forth that we are to honor not only fathers, but mothers. And we're to honor those mothers as we do the fathers. And we're to honor the mothers as being a mother, not being superwoman. 2 Timothy 1, verse 3. By the way, my wife teaches at our school. She has a master's degree. She's an educated woman. She teaches English. I'm glad she does because I can't. She teaches music to generations of young people. But her greatest accomplishment, you saw my daughter and my son and their abilities. That's, look at me, being a mother. That's her greatest accomplishment, of course. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, that there was nothing fake about Timothy's Christianity. It was real and it was deep. Why? Which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice. And I am persuaded that in thee also, my friend, right here in this text, among hundreds, probably not thousands, but hundreds of women's names, we know Timothy was a Christian primarily because of grandma and mom. Grandma and mom, we know their names. We know they were believers. And the faith that grandma had and mom had was passed on to Timothy. And Paul saw it in grandma, saw it in mom, and saw it in Timothy. That's a revolutionary statement. Ladies, if you're a mother here this morning, I honor you. I honor you. I honor you. Please hear me. I like it when you have an education. I'm happy for when you work. But today in America, men are, of course, all stupid, which is another pagan idea. Women are important, but you're only important if you have a big job. Ladies, your biggest job most of the time starts in the nursery when you carry that baby home. Could you imagine if children only had dads? First of all, we wouldn't have children, would we? I'm not talking about just physically. All the children would die of fear. Sometimes children, you know, some people want to hand me their baby, and then the baby looks at me, and the baby goes, my friend, mothers, we make a revolutionary statement this morning. We're going to honor mothers as mothers. Yes, the women here, most of you work, and I honor you for that. Your greatest accomplishment is what you do with those lovely children, and it's a beautiful thing. Turn back to Ephesians 6, please, in verse 2. Ephesians 6, verse 2. I want to say a second concept. I have never said this before, never needed to. But we live in strange times. Have you noticed? Ephesians 6 and verse 2. Notice the text. It says, honor thy father and thy mother. This morning, Lake County Baptist Church and the believers here, we make, number one, a revolutionary statement that we're going to honor fathers and mothers. We're going to honor mothers as we do fathers, and we're going to honor these mothers for being mothers, not for being superwoman that has to own a corporation and then she's important. No, just by fulfilling this beautiful function of being a mother. God says honor that, we're going to honor that. Number two, we make a political statement this morning. The USA has decided to join Sodom and Gomorrah. We have now moved into the insane asylum. Somehow, equal rights and civil rights, which were kind of important, I thought, in the 1960s, so that all Americans of whatever their skin tone is, has the rights that I think God wants them to have, number one, and number two, that our Constitution and Declaration said they should have, has now moved to gay marriage. So this morning, look at me, just by mentioning honor your father and your mother, you have made a political statement. You have made it a profound political statement. Because from the beginning of time, I know this sounds surprising, God, the triune God, designed mom and dad. It was no accident of evolution. It's not a social construct. It's not an idea of the West and the oppressive males. It comes from God himself. God designed the family in the beginning. He then wrote this in stone. Fathers, mothers. So today when we honor mothers, that means fundamentally we are making a political statement. Gay marriage, of course, is against Scripture. It is against nature. It is contrary to God's design most of all. In some way or another, the moment we elevate that which God doesn't design, it denigrates and blurs mothers and fathers. Now, for all of you, I believe in voting. I believe in passing laws. I believe in protesting. I believe in writing articles. But for me, the fundamental way to honor marriage, father and mother and your mothers, is to honor that. It's to be an honorable father and mother. It is to promote father and mother, fatherhood and motherhood. It is to live an honorable life day to day. It is to honor your own mother, if that is at all possible. It is to honor your children's mother. It is to honor other mothers. We have so many honorable mothers here that are worth honoring. And my friend, this is a political statement. Now, let's back up for a moment. I'm not interested if you like this or not. I don't care. By the way, I didn't write it in stone 3,450 plus years ago. God Almighty did. There are people that think you can just make this up. Did you hear some of our Supreme Court justices? Some of them have been drinking something. 1973. Folks, you all live on the Mississippi or near it. Well, if you go into Illinois, the Illinois River meets the Mississippi River at Grafton, Illinois. That's the address of where I was from. The Mississippi meets there. My dad used to drive down, and at Grafton, Illinois, he would drive down the Mississippi River to Alton, Illinois to work every day. In 1973, there was a big flood. The second biggest one. The biggest one happened in 93. Unbelievable. I was in high school. One day, Dad was taking his Volkswagen Bug, driving from the farm we lived on to Alton, Illinois to go to work at the steel mill. And the river was flooding. And as he got closer, at first it was okay, but as he came to Grafton area and got on the river road right beside the river was out. But it wasn't too deep. So Dad kept driving his Bug down the river road. And I think from Grafton to Alton's 15 miles or so. The river never got too deep. Emphasis on too deep. He got all the way to work. He worked. He came out after work in his car. You know what he discovered? His Bug made a better car than it did boat. May I say this to you? You can believe anything you want to believe, but God Almighty, He designed marriage. This is not an evolutionary accident. This is not a social construct that powerful people got together to impose their authority over other people. This is the way God designed. And by the way, Volkswagen designed a bug, look at me, for driving, not for floating. And God designed, this is shocking to some people, a male and a female, a husband and a wife. So this morning, we make a revolutionary statement. We're going to honor fathers and mothers. We're going to honor mothers as we do fathers and not treat them as fourth-class citizens. And we're going to honor mothers as mothers. We're also going to make a political statement. And by the way, the political statement doesn't stop here. It's every place you go. Because when you have a wife, you honor your wife as the mother of your children. You honor your own mother if at all possible, and in most cases it is. You honor mothers in a church like this. You are making the only statement that needs to be made. By the way, the reason we have this crisis is because we don't honor fathers and haven't since the 60s. Father knows nothing. Fathers are stupid. And now we don't even honor mothers, and then mothers don't live honorably. I grew up differently. And this church, we're going to honor mothers. Look back, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2. I'm going to be slightly technical, just for a second. Ephesians 6, verse 2, the first line says, honor thy father and mother. The first word honor, remember, the New Testament is written in Greek, Old Testament in Hebrew. I read both languages. They don't say anything differently. They just add a little flavor. In New Testament Greek, the word honor is tamao. And that word means, normally, in other settings, it means to place value on something, to set a price for something, to show something's worth. So Paul, when he uses the word tamao, the verb, he's saying you're to take your father and your mother and you're to show people that they have value. That's the third point. Not only a revolutionary statement and not only a political statement, but it is a personal value statement. How I treat my mother, how I honor my mother, shows everybody what I think she is worth. And she is worth something. Exodus chapter 20, please. Look there if you would, please. To the first command, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. Would you look there with me? The Old Testament wasn't written in Greek. It was written in Hebrew. It doesn't say anything different. I'm just giving you flavor. That's all. The English is fine, but I'm giving you a little flavor. And Greek honor is that tamao word that means to value something. In Greek, that's it. In Hebrew, when it says, in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother, it uses the very beautiful Hebrew word kabod, which we normally think of as glory, but it also has a meaning of weight. Because when we give glory, look up here, folks, when we give glory to God, we're saying God is the weightiest being in the universe and in our life. Everything else weighs nothing. When we honor our father and mother, and on this morning our mother, we're giving our mother tremendous weight in our life. We're saying she is the weightiest individual. She is my opinions, my emotions, my little feelings, not much value. Mom has weight. She is weighty. That's the idea. Value and weight. Now, turn, if you would, to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. We're going to look at several passages in Proverbs, please. And I'll be done. There's two things you have to do on Sunday morning of Mother's Day. Number one, you better honor mothers. Do you know this? You don't know this rule. If you don't honor mothers on Mother's Day, that's the unpardonable sin.
That's a way to get fired as a pastor. But I don't have a problem doing it. I have a good mother. And my wife is honorable also. The second thing is you have to preach reasonably short, which I'm going to try to accomplish. I might not be successful on that. Proverbs 31 and verse 10. Notice the language. Now remember, friend, honor in the New Testament, tamao, means to put value on something. The Old Testament, kabod, has the idea of weight. And when we think about the glory of God, we're thinking about when Isaiah saw the glory of God, you fall on your face because the weight of it just overwhelms you. You're giving weight to your mother. You're giving a value to your mother. Proverbs 31, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous wife? Notice the language for her what? Right into the same kind. Her price is far above rubies. Verse 28, her children arise up and call her blessed or blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Favor is deceitful and beauty, verse 30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. 31, give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Now, let's turn back to the same book, Proverbs 19, verse 26. Friends, I'm going to close the sermon this morning this simply. This morning, if you're a believer and you honor your father and your mother, and you honor your mother as you do your father, and you honor your mother as a mother for the sacrifice and the investment and all that she did, you make a revolutionary statement and you begin to stand against the insane asylum of this country, which is totally insane. Actually, they think they can make a Volkswagen Bug fly because we're smarter than everybody that's ever lived. Good luck on getting that Volkswagen to fly. It didn't float very well. It is never going to fly. But the personal value statement is where I want us to conclude. Proverbs 19:26. He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causes shame and bringeth reproach. Chapter 23, please. Chapter 23, a few chapters over, verse 22. 23:22. Everyone look at me for a moment. Mother said something to me last week before, I don't know. She said a little statement. She says, none of you children ever backtalked her. She said, my brother did one time. He thought that dad had gone to work. You have to understand, when a mother is disrespected, it's because the father is not much of a man. And he is abusing his wife and letting the children abuse the wife. In my family, where I grew up, if you abused mother, that was the death sentence. Proverbs 23:22, hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. I have talked about a revolutionary statement, a political statement, and a personal value statement. I will conclude by explaining that last a little bit, and for me personally. Honoring, valuing, giving weight to mom doesn't necessarily mean flowers and you're okay, or candy and you're okay, or cards and you're okay, or giving a phone call and you're okay. Putting value on mom, giving weight to mom, to me is real simple. It's how you live. It's who you are. It's what you make of yourself. No mother wants to rear a fool. No mother wants her child to bring shame on her. Now you look at me. This is my final statement this morning. I grew up in a home. Dad was a good man but unsaved. Mom was the saved one. Dad didn't have a big problem with us going to church most of the time, but there was always this. Because fundamentally, there were some things at odd. Many years ago, this is how I honor my mother. I choose Mom. She's over there. She's small. Some of you think sweet. I have other memories too. But I will say this. Four children chose Mom. Don't you talk about honoring anybody when you choose yourself. This morning, I'm going to make a revolutionary statement. I think we're going to honor mothers as mothers. I think we're going to make a political statement. We're going to say that Volkswagen bugs don't fly. That's not the way they were designed, and that's not the way God designed families. It's a dad and a mom. But I'm going to make a personal value statement this morning. For the rest of my life, I choose Mom. Let's pray. Father,